shot John F. Kennedy. It was just a man with something to prove. Slightly bored and severely confused, he steadied his rifle with his target in the center and became famous on that day in November.
Hey, all right. And welcome to a special non-canonical episode of the Better Yet Podcast. I'm Tim Crisp, your host. Better Yet is usually a long-form interview podcast featuring musicians talking about influence, writing, and being around. We got something different for you this holiday week as we approach Thanksgiving and the 55th anniversary of that day in November. First of all, a quick shout-out for the reviews on Apple Podcasts. We rounded up and sent $50 to the Greater Food Depository of Chicago. That's chicagosfoodbank.org if you're in the city and would like to make a donation. So what we've got here this week is a special holiday sampler for all of you for what we're doing over on the Patreon, patreon.com/betteryetpodcast. Patreon is a way for you to help support the show in exchange for some extra content. Chloe is ever present in the feed, the most photogenic dog that's ever walked the earth. But we've also got a lot of extra audio content on there, which we're going to give you a sample of today, realizing that my saying a new show called 15 Minutes with You doesn't mean all that much until you hear it. So how about it? Here's a sampler of the first batch of episodes of 15 Minutes with You. Enjoy. Hey, all right. Welcome to 15 Minutes with You. 15 Minutes with You is an interview podcast, much like Better Yet, but it is a different type of interview podcast, not only because it's shorter in length, as the title suggests, every episode is 15 minutes long, but we ask all sorts of different questions here on 15 Minutes with You, where you never know what you're gonna get. I'd like to introduce my guests. Firstly, she is the front person of Rat Boys. She plays bass in Special Death, and she is a member of the Better Yet Hall of Fame, Julia Steiner. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Welcome to 15 Minutes with You.
Thank you for having me on 15 Minutes with You.
Along with Julia, we have a non-member of the Better Yet Hall of Fame, but don't let that mark your opinion because he's still a great guy. Dave Sagan of Rat Boys.
Hello.
Is also here. All right, let's start that clock.
Ooh.
Please.
Oh, yeah.
State your name.
My name's Jim Geis.
Of?
Boilerman, Rash, Giddim, Mycelium Cloak.
Mycelium Cloak?
Yeah, it's a band. It's a band, okay. I do.
Sure. has anyone ever called you James?
Just teachers.
The first day.
Sure.
James.
Sometimes I just let it ride, depending on how deep I think I'm going to get in with this teacher.
Hey, Cammy, right?
I think it comes, no offense to people that call me that. Part of me is like, I think they might be scared that they don't know how to say my name, uh-huh, so they just call me that. Because it's like a safe thing to
uh-huh
say.
Yeah, because I, you know, until we met, I was like, Camilla is coming over.
Mm-hmm.
It's Camila. But so when you're called on in third grade and they say Camilla, don't they?
That's pretty much my whole school career. I was just like too shy to say that's wrong. And I'm sure that's how like so many kids who have unique names.
Yeah.
They're just like, you know what? Sure. Camilla, let's go with that.
Let's just go with it.
And then in college, I was like, no, it's really Camila. Like, it took me a while, but I don't mind. If people call me Camilla, it's no big deal.
Yeah. But not friends. Then they're just being mean.
It is kind of like a little, like, you know, are they a Camilla or are they a Camila friend?
So, yeah, that's the way to weed out the true homies. Today, of course, is October 31st, and I think it's so funny that you both wore your costumes here. I wish we had a camera. Julia's dressed up like Bam Margera, and Dave with maybe the best Phil costume I've ever seen.
It's gross.
Did you wake up this morning and start playing pranks on Phil, quote-unquote Phil?
Yeah, I did. Check I stepped out on his foot really hard.
on purpose.
If I put my hat backwards, I can be like Brandon. Wow. You know, Brandon.
Hey.
Well, I mean, if you notice, like, again, I'm so bummed that we don't have the camera to show you, but I'm sitting very stiffly here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of sitting, but I'm standing at the same time. So, I definitely got a whooping today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You what does Phil say?
You try to, he's like,
he says, ow!
Damn it, Bam!
Bam!
You suck.
Chloe sucks. Chloe's dressed like her favorite mid 90s rock band, That Dog.
Oh. Yeah.
So this is- All right, now, Jim, are you ready to enter the randomizer?
Let's do it.
What is your favorite type of noodle?
Fettuccine.
Work hard or play hard?
Play hard, baby.
Robbie or Johnny?
Personality-wise, Robbie, early ragers, Johnny.
Favorite animal?
Echidna.
Elephant.
Oh, probably some sort of lizard.
Nice.
Elephants are my favorite animal.
Me too.
Who's your go-to Mario Kart character?
Luigi, both of us.
Or Bowser.
Being or Luigi. There, Summer Teeth, or Yankee Hotel Foxtrot?
Being there, for sure.
Yankee Hotel.
Oh, this is a topical question. CKY, Jackass, or Viva La Bam?
Jackass.
Yeah, Jackass.
Are Sesame Street characters Muppets?
Yes.
I don't...
yes.
I think they inhabit the same universe.
Same universe. I like that. I don't think they are, but I can't explain why they're not.
Came from the same brain.
Yeah, but like,
I guess it doesn't Cube's make them the same thing.
Solo work is not NWA.
True.
Yes. I'll say yes, because Jim Henson right? like designs them all, I think, right?
Yeah, he designs I'm them all, say sure. Yes. But yes. Are they technically Muppets if they're not on the Muppet Show? They exist only in the Sesame Street universe?
I don't know if I'm ready to go into that, but I'll just say yes.
Who is your favorite Muppet?
I never like was super into the Muppets.
All right, who's your favorite Sesame Street character?
I'm sorry.
I just said Camilla, you heard it too. All right. I figured I was being good and saying like I goofed, but you knew that I goofed.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We can both be sorry with each other, right?
I like Kermit. All
right, now we're going to play a game called Drug or Pokemon.
Okay. I'm qualified. Qualified for that.
Sentret.
That is a Pokemon.
Aktos.
That is probably a drug.
It's a drug. It's type 2 diabetes.
Damn.
Pokemon. Sorry. I just gave you the answer.
Pokemon is a Pokemon.
Sounds like someone should make a drug called Pokemon.
Well,
that'd be confusing.
Well, I mean, I've definitely caught a Pokemon and just nicknamed it Pokemon before. Kind
of
like.
I'm glad that you're having a good time. That's the end of drug or Pokemon. Time for intermission. Yeah,
we're back.
Right, we're now. Halloween is just around the corner,
yay.
And I'm so excited. Are you excited for Halloween?
Yeah, I love Halloween.
Do you have a favorite costume?
Of mine
ever been.
So as an adult, my favorite one has been Xenon.
Yeah.
So I was Xenon.
Oh,
but
from the Disney Channel movies.
Oh yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I love Disney Channel movies.
What's
They're
your
great.
I know that we've already gone through the randomizer. What's your favorite Disney Channel movie?
I love Brink. I think
Brink's
there's so
the
many.
Best.
Brink is and I love it too because there's no like romance in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just friends.
Yeah, and even though Gabriella is
exactly
on,
she's badass. She's
yeah.
like she's the best.
And I love that she's the one that's just like the best quote of Brink is when he's just like, "I'm sorry, my family really needs the money." And she's like, "We all need the money."
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable. Damn. And when she's like, "I'm from Peru, El Stupido." Yeah, that's right. You suck, Val. And you know, I wasn't allowed to go trick or treating when I was in first grade.
Why?
I got kicked off of the school bus.
It's messed up.
My mom made me pass out candy to all the trick or treaters.
That's brutal as a first grader. That's torturous.
Yeah. And then when the, you know, we didn't live by a lot of people, so we didn't get a lot of trick-or-treaters. And so I was like, oh, well, look at all this candy that's like left in the bowl. I'm just going to eat all of that. And then the last trick-or-treater that came, my mom took the entire bowl and dumped it into this child's pillow sack.
Yo.
Let me tell you a little bit more. My two best friends that year were ninjas. They lived down the block from me. So I'm watching them, you know, we live on a cul-de-sac, and I see them across the street, and they're playing with their ninja stuff. You know what I was in for Halloween in second grade? A ninja. The loneliest ninja. Do you have a costume plan for this year?
I don't. I'm trying to figure one out. I'm going to a costume-required party, and I don't have one.
You know what I'm going to be?
What?
You know that cool S?
Oh, dang, from the Notebooks?
Yeah.
Yes.
What was your favorite Halloween costume of all time?
Oh, I was a cowboy once. That was pretty cool.
Nice. Very nice. Of all time, that's your favorite one?
Or maybe I was Hercules. Like,
is this strictly us or anyone?
No, you're on.
Strictly
yeah.
us.
Okay. I think I like the cowboy the most. Yeah.
That's cool.
You're kind of giving him the business a little bit. Sorry, about. Dave. Was that I not was like just... a good enough no, answer
good.
For you?
No, that's I cool. Mean,
all right, now I want you to look at a picture, and I want you to tell me what you see. Now, those of you listening, don't worry. I will be posting this picture so you're able to follow along at home. I'm obviously not going to do like a talking segment where a visual requirement is not taken care of. But anyway. Now, just say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Tiger.
Tiger.
Tiger. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Why tiger?
His face looks like a tiger in this photo.
This is a cover of Dirty Mind by Prince. It's got a picture of Prince on it. It says Prince on the top of it. That is not the bit. I informed you that there would be a bit. You fucked up the bit.
Was I supposed to say the obvious thing?
You fucked up.
I didn't know what the bit was.
Now it's time for complete this sentence. The best Black Flag singer was?
Dez. No, Chavo.
What annoys me is?
When Jim messes up the bit.
Alkaline Trio became uninteresting after?
Good morning.
My greatest fear?
Messing up the bit.
And we're back, and just in time for another edition of Ask Tim and Whomever. Now, Ask Tim and Whomever is a segment where my guests and I answer your advice inquiries. You can submit your own questions to asktimandwhomever.15minuteswithyou at patreon.com/betteryetpodcast. Now, I know the name of the segment may seem a little impersonal, but there is nothing impersonal about the advice I and Whomever are here to provide. Whereas this week, Whomever is Julia and Dave of Rat Boys.
We're ready.
Hello.
All right. Dear Tim and Whomever, I have two granddaughters, 11 and 14. We have a vacation home, and they come to stay for a week or two every summer. While they were visiting this year, I noticed both girls trying on old clothes and jewelry from a closet. One granddaughter asked me if she could keep a gemstone pendant that she found. It had belonged to my mother, and I was not ready to part with it. She seemed disappointed, but she said she would put it back. I didn't think anything of it until after they left. When I went to go look for the pendant, I was unable to find it. I emailed my son and asked if he knew if the girls had taken it. He said he didn't think they would do something like that, and that I had probably misplaced it. A few weeks later, I received an envelope in the mail with the pendant inside. Inside was a note from my daughter-in-law saying she had found it in the girl's room and was very sorry for what they had done. She asked that I not say anything to my son about it for fear he would overreact and that she would handle it. My son asked me several more times about the pendant and keeps saying that it's my fault for losing it, that I'm forgetful and absent-minded. And that I shouldn't have accused his daughters. I have not said anything and just keep saying I hope it will turn up. I do not like lying like this, but I also don't like being accused of being absent-minded when I am not. What do you suggest, Gammy? Well, Gammy, I'd like to start by thanking you for your Patreon pledge and encourage you to tell your grandchildren, son, and daughter-in-law to also pledge over at patreon.com/betteryetpodcast. As far as the situation, Julia, Dave, what do you think?
Well, I think it was very unfair of Gammy's daughter-in-law to put her in between herself and her husband in their marriage. Mm-hmm. I feel like it doesn't really help or answer Gammy's question, but it's a real shame that Gammy could just be honest with her son and tell him what happened and in a calm way and try to figure out a way to talk to her granddaughter. But because his wife has some strange fear of him reacting aggressively, she's asked Gammy to lie to her son. So it's just creating more and more confusion and, and you know, roadblocks toward actually figuring it out.
What do you think, Phil? I mean, Dave, sorry. It's such a good costume.
Damn. I mean, she got the pendant back. And, you know your son didn't, like, look around for it. So, I personally would just drop it.
Well, it seems like
her son's like hounding her and like accusing her.
That's the thing is that although I agree that it's unfortunate that the daughter-in-law seems to have gotten in the way of things, it sounds like the son has
some anger issues.
Yeah. She's like, I'm worried that he's going to overreact, and then he's like going out of his way to kind of get into Gammy's face about it.
And you don't want to tell him, hey, your wife sent this back to me, because then he might spin out and freak out on her, on the wife. So it's really hard because it seems like this guy's a little unstable. And clearly his daughters might have picked up on some of his strange...
Well, I think we all have... I had a shoplifting phase.
And you can't really take it out on them. It's just... Yeah. It's hard to have that be an example of someone you can't be honest with because
definitely
you're afraid they'll
you want to be able to just promote honesty even if it's a tough thing to, you know, have to tell somebody about,
because that's how you learn. Like, every kid screws up and that's how you learn.
Yeah, I mean, you steal from your grandmother,
right?
That's, you know,
something that you don't know the value of,
like, right? She turned into a bridezilla and was completely ungrateful for everything everyone did for her. I ended up in debt because of all the money I spent on it. Since then, we have not been the greatest friends. My husband and I have recently found out that I am pregnant. It was a surprise to us. We are a more reserved couple, so we didn't make a super big deal about telling people other than our families. As Rose and I are in such an awkward place right now, I didn't make an effort to tell her. We made the official announcement on social media. A few days ago, I received a long message from her saying how hurt she is that I didn't tell her and that I'm not trying in our friendship, whereas she is going out of her way to stay friends and doesn't want to lose me. No congrats, no well wishes, no happy messages. I've always let people walk all over me. Does she have a right to be mad at me for not telling her? Is this a sign our friendship has expired, or am I just overreacting? Feeling stuck. Well, feeling stuck, I would like to start by thanking you for your pledge and encourage you to tell the friends that you are still close with to go on over to patreon.com/betteryetpodcast. You can go ahead and tell all of them about the new era over here at 15 Minutes With You, and about all of our other great audio content, Chloe content, and more. But David, what advice do you have for feeling stuck?
Well, that's a tough one, feeling stuck. I have never had this specific situation happen to me. But with that, I would like to say that I think it's important for you to articulate how you feel and your needs, and express them openly and honestly, and explain why, as hard as it may be, this friendship may have its shortcomings, and that if possible, you would like to keep it going. You are under no obligation to do so, but if a friendship is not giving you what you deem fit, you have no obligation to continue it.
Awesome.
We've done one Halloween set once.
Who were you?
We were Sesame Street. A few years ago. It was really
fun.
You were like,
we're the Muppets.
Not quite.
That'll do it for 15 minutes with you. Thank you both so much for coming by. Thank you, Patreon pledgers, especially Gammy.
Gammy.
We'll be back soon to talk some more. Thanks, Bubbas.
Yeah.
Peace.
Did we get in the time limit?
Oh, you're so great.
No, sweet. It doesn't matter. Hey, all right. And welcome to episode number 4 of 15 Minutes with You. My name is Timothy Crisp, and I'm the host of 15 Minutes with You. On our last episode of 15 Minutes with You, I was joined by Julius Steiner of the Better Yet Hall of Fame and Dave Sagan of Rat Boys. In the concluding moments of our episode, Julia asked me if we hit our mark in terms of time, that being 15 minutes. My reply was an unfortunate mental gaffe, but its utterance nonetheless concluded the episode. I'd like to go ahead and play the reply, if that's all right. Now, if you'd rather not hear the reply, you may skip ahead 4 seconds in the episode. If it's difficult for you to move the little dot that marks your progress in the episode ahead only 4 seconds, you can skip ahead 15 seconds in your podcast player, wait 4 seconds, and then skip back 15 seconds. If your podcast player has a 10-second option, you can just do the same, only you'd skip ahead 10 seconds, and then back 4. Some of you may have a 30-second option. I'm not sure what all the podcast players have. I know that audiobooks from audible.com have a default of 30 seconds. Also, if you go to audible.com and type in the promo code MyFavoriteMurder, you receive a free trial month, including 2 free audiobooks from audible.com. That's promo code MyFavoriteMurder. And that promo code comes from the My Favorite Murder podcast, very good podcast, very successful, obviously, with an Audible sponsorship. I mean, you could probably pay your rent with an Audible sponsorship. And as a user of this great service, which allows you the chance to continue to fit literature into your busy schedule, I would love the opportunity to use my public platform to spread the good word about words to my listeners. But we, of course, are a different type of podcast. And our source of income is not through the folks at audible.com. It is through our dedicated listeners and Patreon pledgers, each of whom we appreciate and each of whom are owed an apology. For this moment, again, skip ahead if you'd rather not hear this. But here it is.
Yeah.
Peace.
Did we get in the time limit?
Oh, you're so great. No, sweet. It doesn't matter.
I would like to start by saying that I am sorry for anyone who heard those words and justifiably heard a statement that 15 minutes with you doesn't matter, that the Patreon.com/BetterYetPodcast doesn't matter, and that they, the Patreon pledgers and consumers of 15 minutes with you, knew from the past, and all the other great content available at Patreon.com/BetterYetPodcast, that they don't matter. There is nothing that could be further from the truth. Each of you matter. The Patreon community matters. And 15 minutes with you matters. From the bottom of my heart, I am sorry that I allowed something to come out of my mouth which would suggest otherwise. I'm sorry that I allowed it to pass through my editing process.
Hyped up on Halloween candy.
Was acting a bit ostentatious.
Feel like Joseph Conrad's Kurtz, or at least Marlon Brando's portrayal. The horror. The horror. So I let myself lose control. But that's not an excuse. And I want to say that I am sincerely sorry to all of you out there.
So with that, let me welcome my guest. David Anthony is here. Hi, David.
Why did you ask me to be here for that? Couldn't you have added that in post?
Well, we don't do post on 15 minutes with you.
We just
let it go.
Okay. I'm also a Patreon subscriber. Are you going to be interviewing like the other Patreon subscribers at some point?
Well, that would take a lot of effort. We have Patreon subscribers from across the globe. Uh-huh. Just so happens that
You are my friend, and you're a figurehead in the music community, and you were nice enough to pledge to it when I asked you if you could before I launched it, just so that I had some people contributing to it. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I look forward to listening to this episode of bonus content geared specifically towards me.
All right. Well, with that, how about a game of 15 minutes with you? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's start. Full name.
David Anthony.
All right, David, I do apologize. We have to go to intermission.
Okay, understand.
David Anthony.
That's me.
You don't have a middle name?
I do.
Well, ask for your full name.
I don't tell people.
But hey, Dave, while you're here, why don't we roll the dice a bit, huh? How
sure.
About some random questions?
Why not?
What's your middle name?
I don't tell people that.
What is your favorite color?
Green.
The Smiths or Robert Smith?
Robert Smith.
Mascus or Barlow?
Don't care.
Work hard or play hard?
Work hard.
What is your middle name?
I don't tell people.
Staying up late or waking up early?
Staying up late.
Hey, all right. And welcome to episode number 5 of 15 Minutes With You. I am Tim Crisp, your host, and a host who's having a tough time keeping track of all the great content over here at patreon.com/betteryetpodcast. So we're on episode 5 of 15 Minutes With You. I'm not sure which episode of Patreon this all is. We'll just stick with this is number 5 for 15 Minutes With You. And with that, we are joined this week by Dave Collis. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Welcome to 15 Minutes With You.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Dave, before we start, just give me a moment to address my patrons, my beloved patrons out there, with whom I've been having a bit of a dialogue on 15 Minutes With You as we're getting started with things.
Sure.
Now, I appreciate most of the feedback I've received from some of you out there. Last week's episode with David Anthony, let's start with the good. A couple of you accepted my apology and expressed a readiness to move on, which I appreciate, as it is a view that I share. I'm just as ready to start fresh. And then there are some of you who are, you know, not only you don't want to move on, but you want to tack on these trumped up charges that I was taking out some frustration on David. You know, I thought it was weird that he wouldn't tell me his middle name, and I still do. And after all the apologizing I did last time, there really is no chance I'm going out of my way to apologize now for this, especially when these demands are coming from sort of suspicious places. DavidAnthonyRules@hotmail.com sent me an email. I stand with David messaged me on SoulSeek, and a new pledge from an Anthony David who immediately threatened to discontinue their pledge. But a couple rightly pointed out that nearly half of our last episode of 15 Minutes With You was spent on the apology, not on the actual interview. Also, that episode did come in a little bit under 15 minutes total. Anyway, so this is a critique to take to heart. So back to basics. Hear that? We're going to live by this sound. The timer, which I mentioned in episode 1, is back. So it's a new era of 15 Minutes With You. Back to our roots, back to making sure we keep the you in 15 Minutes With You. And this edition's you is Dave Collis. Dave.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Let's start the clock. Let me find the button. There it is. All right. Full name.
Dave Collis.
Your birth name is Dave?
Sure.
No middle name?
Well, we can get to that later.
Are you gonna... That's another one. Cool. Bands.
I like them.
What bands are you in?
I play in Slow Mass and Stay Asleep.
and formerly my dad.
I wasn't my dad.
Old fuck.
I wasn't old fuck.
Sword swallower.
I was briefly in sword swallower.
You were briefly. All right. So, any nicknames other than Dave?
No.
Well, yeah, but that's your, never mind, that's your real name is Dave.
My Christian name.
Uh-huh. Star sign?
Leo.
Oh, fire sign, just like me and Chloe.
Is that a star sign?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you're, what are you, August?
Yes.
Not bad. Instrument?
Many. Guitar, bass, drums. I own a mandolin. I can sort of play it.
Wow. But your main instrument is probably guitar.
Probably guitar. Yeah.
Who's your favorite player of that instrument?
Ooh. I was discussing this recently, and fuck. Can I curse on this? Well, I guess it's all digital, right? There's no clear channel to edit.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, well, you did mention an old band name of mine that has a curse word in it.
That's
so
true.
So yeah. We already got that. Oh,
shit. Not sure what. This was.
That was 15 minutes?
Well, I said it for 15 minutes.
No.
Thought I did.
Time flies.
No, you made time drag because you take so long to answer your questions.
I'm sorry.
Shoot. Well, it's a minute 50.
Oh.
Fucking 1-0. That makes all the difference, huh?
This is true.
Well, here, let me, I got a timer on my phone, so I'll start that up. Just give me, it's a new phone, so I gotta find the kind of spot. Okay. We'll just do stopwatch, and we'll do a minute 50 plus 3 minutes, so 4:50. So we'll do another 10 minutes and 10 seconds. Sounds good.
Yeah. The math is off, but we'll roll with it.
Are you sure?
I think so.
At age 10, what'd you want to be when you grow up?
Probably a musician.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're living your
I think dream. I was playing guitar by that point.
Yeah. Oh. Well, okay. Well, it locked, the auto lock. You know what? Here, it'll be easier if I do a timer that's on the computer.
Okay.
Let me just find it real quick. I still don't really know how to find things on here, but there's a search bar, timer. All right, so cool. All right, so timer starts now. All right, so that has been a lot of fun to put together. 15 Minutes with You has evolved along the way and will continue to do so, having a lot of fun doing something pretty different and also having fun with a show that I'm calling New from the Past. And this is where I go and I take a look back at new releases from past guests. So far, we've talked about 2018 releases from Kississippi, Wild Pink, Super Unison, and Tony Molina. Let's go ahead and listen in on that one. This is me talking about Tony Molina's Kill the Lights. All right, my dude, Tony, tapping into some fan club, some 70s power pop, the vocal harmonies, and the guitar tones really cement things for me on this track and a lot of the tones on this record I really love. We'll get into things as we move forward here, but let's contextualize things beforehand. My first experience with Tony Molina's music was through Ovens, a band that Vince Aguilar, who I talk about often on this show, someone I've known for almost 10 years now, most of that time spent playing music together. He was an early guest on this show. Vince is someone who, for as long as I've known him, I've never been able to pin down what he really likes. You know these people, they love the things they love, but if you introduce something to them that you think they would very obviously like this, if they like that, but it's kind of always a toss-up. Vince, though, I will say when he likes something, he loves it. So he finds this band, The Ovens, that he doesn't know much about, just that they have a blog spot with a banner that says no shows ever, and they have a ton of LPs that sound like a combination of Thin Lizzy and Weezer with these weak metal breakdowns and cheesy, flawless guitar solos. Oh, and all the songs are like a minute long. He'd play them in the car on the way to band practice constantly. Now, 2013, Tony Molina from The Ovens puts an LP out on Melters, and while I took to The Ovens, this LP, a record called Distant Dismissed, was the one that I really connected with. 12 songs, 13 minutes, absolutely perfect. And still, a matter of mystery. Who is this guy? How is he so locked into this thing? How is this thing so good? And why is there a 25-second song on here called Sick Ass Riff? I remember reading my first interview with Tony. It got linked in a Facebook post, and someone pointed out, this guy says hella like 40 times in this interview. His Twitter, which is now deleted, was unbelievable. He liked to say fuck society a lot. Every print interview was so entertaining. He just has this way of talking. And when I started this podcast, he was in my top five people that I wanted to have on it. It took a lot of coaxing. I will be forever grateful to Justin Conway for helping me push him to actually do it. And when he came on, it was so fun. We talked about Big Star, got a fill in on Ovens, and also I found him at an interesting point, having just released Confront the Truth, which was the follow-up to Distant Dismissed, and he was pretty distant from Distant Dismissed at this point. Confront the Truth felt like a transition for him, even though it wasn't far removed from things The Ovens would do, but I think the spirit of Confront the Truth gives us some insight into Kill the Lights. Let's jump back to that interview for a quick bit.
I guess what was going on then was the aesthetic of the record, did that have more to do with like what you were listening to, or was it kind of just the mood that you were in?
I just wanted to go back to old Oven style because I think Distant Dismissed is very one-dimensional, and I actually don't like that record very much.
Really?
No.
Why not?
I think Jack did a good job recording it. I just too one-dimensional, man. There's like so much groove you can do in music, and I feel like I didn't really do it at the time. I think at the time I was listening to a lot of hardcore and a lot of death metal, so I was like, I'm gonna do a fucking like record, but I'm gonna put the focus on the electric guitars, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And then that's all I did for that record. That's all that record is.
Yeah, but I mean that's like crazy emotive and stuff like that too. I think you express a lot with that instrument that I think that's why it resonates with a lot of people, is because they're just not used to feeling that way when they hear that sort of shit in a pop song.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, that's tight. I'm glad people like it, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is that, like, for the new one, I just wanted to do... I mean, I was fucking just fucking, man. Like, at a certain point, you know, Ovens, we were so obsessed with, like, old Pink Floyd. Like, Pink Floyd fucking 67 to 72.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, just old 60s records. Fucking The Idle Race. Fucking Sagittarius Present Tense. Fucking goddamn...
I don't know that.
Yo.
Yeah.
Fucking just like, you know, SF Sorrow, Forever Changes, like just fucking the, you know, fucking Notorious Bird Brothers, like
fucking, oh yeah, Notorious fucking, Bird Brothers for sure. I hear Third on that record a lot. That's why I brought it up at the beginning of the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But, like Hung Up on the Dream, man. That's some Chilton shit.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, whoa.
Can't Get Out of My Bed, like the way you vocalize that.
Oh, whoa, yeah, yeah. It might have been, man, fuck.
Yeah, I mean,
I wanted to go back to that because Ovens had like songs that were, they had heavy electric guitars, you know, but every other song on every single Ovens album has like the track that's like in the style of like a lot of these old 60s bands we like.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
For
and
sure.
And that's always been our favorite music, more than hardcore, more than metal.
More than fucking, Thin Lizzy?
Yeah. Oh shit. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to go back to that, you know, and I was obviously listening to a lot of fucking, I was listening to a lot of George at the time.
Yeah, well, Things Must Pass.
Fucking all the
put that on this morning, man.
Fucking that.
That record's unbelievable.
Yeah, man, that shit is fucking ridiculous. Yeah.
You ever hear the Galaxy 500 cover of Isn't It a Pity?
No, you
gotta
play
it for me. That'll mess
you up. Yeah, yeah, you gotta play it for me. Hell yeah.
One thing that's abundantly clear with Tony is that he's obsessively taking in all sorts of music, not only hardcore and Guided by Voices, but also Pink Floyd, Sagittarius, Judy Sill, and that's what he's really leaning into on Kill the Lights, along with the power pop, both from the 70s, bands like Big Star, Flaming Groovies, but also the early 90s disciples of those bands, Teenage Fan Club, The Posies. Kill the Lights is grounded by the power pop influences. You hear it on Nothing I Can Say, or a song like Jasper's Theme, which has the bounce of Fan Club's Grand Prix, or Big Star's Radio City, this big guitar pop. The mellow tracks are where you see the 60s influence take hold in the layers of acoustic guitars, the Hammond organ, and what I really appreciate about Tony's guitar playing on this record, when you go back to Ovens or Distant Dismiss, you hear those double guitar solos and the breakdowns, and he's so good at copying from Metal and Thin Lizzy, but his guitar playing here, it's Roger Waters or George Harrison. These guitars are so warm, and he's adept enough of a guitar player to drop a low-key solo that is just as befitting as those huge ones from earlier in his discography. Vocally, it's interesting to consider the way his voice works in these songs compared to earlier. I think one of the interesting things in listening to a record like Distant Dismissed is that Tony's vocals are so low-key that it's almost in opposition to the music behind him, this guitar-heavy rock and this soft, bummed-out vocal on top of it. I always thought that that was very funny, or at least a little tongue-in-cheek. Nowhere to Go, the first song on Dist, it's funny to me. On this record, you lose that effect. His vocals just fit within the song, but they do fit very well. I think that the opposition he was working with early did work to his benefit, so it's not to say that something is missing here, but a key component to what made that material work isn't necessarily present here. But I think that this record is perceived as lesser than, and I think that that is maybe a fair assessment, but I don't agree with it, and here's why. Tony's music has always been about immersion, and whether it's an immersion into Thin Lizzy and Metal mashup or a psychedelic power pop, the immersion itself is equal. You see that in his lyrics, which are not personal. They are meant to color the mood of the song, and I really appreciate that from an artistic standpoint when the songs are there. You will hear me get very heated with bands who adopt a similar pose in lieu of actually writing songs, these pavement replicas, or hardcore kids who play grunge. I'm not for that if the songs aren't there. Tony evokes a mood, he does it effectively, and then he's done. I think that this record has so much to latch onto. The tones are amazing, his guitar playing is so multifaceted, and the work he's done with the vocal harmonies is really, really tremendous. I texted him when it came out, saying how well-timed it was for me personally, because I was finally getting into Pink Floyd, and he said, dude, I would have roasted your ass for not liking Pink Floyd from day one, unless it's anything past 1972, because I fucking hate synthesizers. Fuck synths, man. Fuck the 80s. This is the record that Tony wanted to make at this point. That's my main takeaway from it. I know he could have done Distant Dismiss 2, and people would have loved it. I think the natural ascent that that record had through word of mouth put him in a position to take part in the game, but I don't think he finds any of that interesting. I think he just wants to make records, and I've got a lot of respect for that. So that is a little sampler of New From the Past, which is a fun way to look back and to dive in and put more of a critical lens on things. Another thing that we're offering to our Patreon pledgers is access to the bonus content we offer on the As You Were Patreon. David and I are jumping into some very big topics that are Alkaline Trio related, but also an excuse for us to talk about a lot of things in greater detail. So here are clips from our episode on the top 10 Chicago punk records of all time, along with a clip from a very long episode about the year 1998, which Patrick Nordyke sat in on here.
And it was interesting, you know, when the Broadways got back together, because it's, you know, it's Brendan's
Brendan's band, and he's the one that's like talking and talking and talking in between songs, and Dan's the one that wrote the best songs on that record.
Oh yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Chris is a little underrated on that. Nautical Mile, he's fucking so jam. Good. But Hanaway was really on some shit at that point. He really came into his own as a songwriter before Brendan did by a few years.
And Brendan will tell you that first.
Yeah, no, totally.
But that's there's no situation where Brendan Kelly's on stage and not doing all of the talking in between songs. So yes. It was interesting. And I'm sure that that's how it was then.
I have a VHS tape which has two Broadway sets on it.
Uh-huh.
One of which is the last Broadway show.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you know that story.
No.
But they were playing somewhere, it might have been Bloomington or Normal, somewhere in southern Illinois. And Brendan and Chris elected not to go because they got into a fight.
Wow.
Brendan and Dan. Dan and Rob went and played the last Broadway show ever as a two-piece.
Wow.
It's incredibly awkward.
Uh-huh.
In which he says, yeah, we're going to do a split with this band Baxter. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that'll still happen. And then if you know anything about Chicago punk history, drummer of Baxter, Neil Hennessy, goes on to join the Lawrence Arms. Members of Baxter, namely Tim McElrath, joins the Honor System before starting Rise Against.
Crazy.
That very weird, very weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, Honor System's great. I think this record's still very slept on.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say everyone should check it out.
Here's one that everybody else should check out. If you can, because you're going to have a hard time finding it, I'll make sure that it's on Soulseek, Saddam 518. Is Jinx by Tinley Park's own John Brown Battery.
This one was on my very first list I made over the top 10. Got bumped for a couple reasons. One, for recent stuff. And two, I like their last EP more. But I fucking love this band. And this record is tight as hell.
So I heard this band in the car in 2007 going to get groceries with my college roommates who are all from DuPage County.
Mm-hmm.
And
shouts to the DuPage County Hardcore Band Camp.
This comes on, this record, you know, starts, and I'm in the back, and by the time we get to drive, I'm like, yo, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, John Brown Battery, Southwest Suburbs. And I'm just like, this is just so unbelievably, like, I could not handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen to it nonstop. And it's a record that I still put on, you know, once a year in like just a 5 days of like,
yeah,
I'm listening to this thing every day.
Same. I mean, I came to this band a little earlier than that and got really, really deeply obsessed with them. The way I got in was not dissimilar, but I was at a record fair and there was a He Who Corrupts table where everything was free because that's what this record came out on. It was only
Which
on CD.
Is crazy.
Very
also.
Weird.
And I think we should like stop for a moment to talk about, I would have liked to put a He Who Corrupts LP on here, even though I don't think that they have a like super strong LP, but I think that He Who Corrupts like presence in Chicago just unbelievably important.
We had a similar conversation where I, on my short list of stuff that I, when I was putting together, I'm just writing down all the bands I can think of that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down Charles Bronson. They don't really, Youth Attack, the 10-inch is cool. I wouldn't say it's like super essential. I love Charles Bronson, but I don't know if they have a top 10 record in them.
Yeah.
But He Who Corrupts, yeah, was a presence. They were a thing. And like the label and everything was a thing. And I remember a guy was like, I think I was wearing a Hot Wired Music t-shirt or a Jawbreaker t-shirt, one of the two. Because mm-hmm. the guy was like, if you like them, you need to hear this.
Yeah.
And I just took it home and put it on, and I was like, whoa.
It really it really hits so many levels. It's very of its time.
It very much is. And I'm not going to pretend it's not.
Yeah, it's got like, it's got some like kind of noodly aspects to it. There's a little bit, to me, there's a little bit of just like, you know, kind of like somebody in this band like likes the Promise Ring and he plays.
Someone likes the Promise Ring and someone likes Screamo and someone likes Hot Water Music and someone likes Jawbreaker and someone.
And someone likes Kid Dynamite. Yeah. And it comes together in this package that's just like, it's three singers. You mm-hmm. got like your guy that like only sings a couple songs who has a very weak voice. Yes. Even though he sings like two of the best songs on the record. You have a like burly, heavier voice, and then you have the whatever the guy's name from None More Black is. Yeah. It's such a good mixture, and you know, singing on top of each other, three different vocal things going on at once. Yeah. Lots of tempo changes, lots of fast parts going into quiet parts, going into bum 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 bum.
I mean, lots of that. Like, I remember hearing this for the first time and being like, oh, the singer of A Wilhelm Scream sounds exactly like the burly singer in this band.
Yeah,
like they might as well be the same person. The song Unlucky August on this, I fucking love so much. There's so much good stuff on this. The EP after that, The Only Normal People Are the People You Don't Know That Well, or whatever it's called. Five of their best songs, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, you said it's funny because when we like kind of went over it, you're just like, dude, Unlucky August, and it's like, you know, this thing, it has such a fucking momentum on the first half, and then you kind of like just forget that the second half is just as good, and I'm like ready to just be like to check out a little bit, and then I hear da-na-na, da-na-na,
yep,
da-na-na, da-na-na. You know, something that my opinions on Hot Water Music ruffled a couple feathers on the internet when I was just like, dude, I don't care about Hot Water Music. This is something that to me sounds just like Hot Water Music, but does every emotional thing for me that Hot Water Music never touched. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I mean, to me, like, this has the same appeal of my favorite Hot Water Music stuff. Is it sounds like a band kind of falling over each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sloppy. It's very intense. It's very chaotic. And they're all just very committed to it. This is a band I've loved and I've repped for a long time. I'm so glad you put them on, because I was going to be bomb that I took them off mine without a chance to talk.
Yeah, and like at the very least, we'll put a video up on the Patreon, so y'all are able to experience it, because it's tough to find it. This is it's interesting because going through this, there are a couple of different periods where, you know, this music doesn't really survive when the mediums change.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, that's why I shouted out, and I'm very genuine, like, go to the DuPage County Hardcore Bandcamp, which this guy Dave Hoffa, who has worked at Reckless for years and years and years, wrote a great book about Dan Lilker from Nuclear Assault and SOD. He's the one who does all that, and he's really doing a great job of like ripping tapes, ripping old CDs 7 inches, and putting them up online, obviously with the consent of the bands and all that shit. And I think the John Brown Battery Electricity 7 inches up there, which is really good.
Yeah, I've never even heard that.
Really? Oh, it's mm-hmm. so good.
Yeah. God, I love this band so much.
That's the way to coexist with neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually thinking, like, man, it would be horrible to be Tim's neighbor.
Yeah.
The
I mean,
smell.
So I dog sat for Tim a couple months back.
Yeah.
First night I'm here, I'm in the kitchen, and I'm making dinner, and I'm like holding a giant knife, chopping up food, and there's a knock at the back door. Open it up, it's a cop. And I'm just holding a knife, like greeting this cop. And he's like, there's a lost kid out front, is he yours? And I was like, no. And he's like, can you go upstairs? And like, he's like, can you go upstairs and ask the neighbors if it's maybe theirs? And like, I had to be like, yeah, sure. Like, acting like I'm living here, because I'm just holding a knife. Chloe's right. Barking. Uh-huh. It looks like I just broke in.
Oh, boy.
And I go up the front stairs,
and I'm like gonna knock on your neighbor's door, but I turn the corner and they just have a giant scythe out front, and yep. I came back down. I was like, nah, they don't have a cable.
Very, very nice homies upstairs, scythe and all. This isn't a J Tree record, but I think of all the records that are in this list that didn't come out on J Tree, this is the one that would make the most fucking sense. Braids, Framing Canvas.
Yes. This is the record where I really think Braid figured out what they wanted to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were a
Which
great...
is not a band anymore.
Yes. That, but also, like, they were a band where I like Age of Octane pretty well. I think it's... I think there's a real beauty in the records that were recorded and people just didn't know how the fuck to capture these sounds. Like that, the first Promise Ring LP, where it's just like, I don't know, we know how to record hardcore. Like,
right.
Yeah, forever encountering about how our music, like, this is these are tones, I guess.
Yeah.
This one is so well put together, so well constructed, really well written. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like a band that's just kind of like knows they're starting to run out of gas, so they just take every chance they can.
And it really worked out.
Yeah, it worked out great for them. And also, Polyvinyl was not a huge label at the time. And I really do think that's what diminished this band's impact for a while.
It's wild to me, like, the life that this record has led after it was released, because it's something that I think it's not nearly as sexy as, like, Cap and Jazz.
No.
But you listen to the bands that came around in the late 2000s and moving on into, like, some of the bands like Foxinger still, like,
sure,
you know, exist in as modern rock bands, but people are taken way more from Framing Canvas than they are from Cap and Jazz.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Totally. I mean, I pointed out, like, Motion City Soundtrack, like, stole a drum beat from this record, and yeah. I would say, like, basically added keyboards over top of what Framing Canvas was.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were a strange, like, sideways influence to a lot of those bands that were kind of tracing that pop emo circle in the early to mid 2000s. I don't really think they get a lot of credit for it. Even now, I think Braid still is kind of seen as kind of a minor thing.
It's so wild. It's
bizarre.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre.
Is it just because, like, they broke up and then got back together and then broke up and then got back together? Is it, like, if Braid didn't reunite until, like, 2012?
Well, I think they were just always out ahead of everyone with doing that shit.
Yeah, and I do think their sound was just a little off the nose. Like, yes. I remember when we, like, my friends and I discovered Braid and discovered Framing Canvas specifically, being like, oh man, Frankie Welfare Boys is, like, an amazing track. I don't get the rest of it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes a while to click.
I think Braid takes longer to click than most bands, and it's one of those things where when I first heard them, I did not like them very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, I like New Nathan Detroit's, and then it just kind of kept being like, I kept going back to it, and, like, slowly but surely, it's like, all right, now I like the first 3 songs. Now I like the first 6 songs. Now I like it all.
Yes.
And then really digging into the movie music stuff and hearing, like, Niagara and Strawberry.
Yeah.
And
so much of that shit. I mean, it was, like, coming out as singles, but it's...
Yeah. Well, and I would say they were a singles band up until this point.
Yes, totally.
I have a friend who's older than me, and Braid was, like, his favorite band in the 90s, and he's like, that was the thing, is they were putting out so much that, like, they were kind of the collector's completest band. Like, you had to track down these comps. You go see them, and they were always playing new stuff. It was kind of like Jawbreaker in a certain sense, of just, like, always putting out new material in these weird different ways, going to shows and Braids not playing, like, the songs you expect them to play.
Huh.
And then it finally kind of congeals here, you know? And, yeah, I think it's the fact that, you know, at the time, they were kind of in their own lane. This was post Cap and Jazz.
Yeah.
This is pre Get Up Kids, you know, when they're really hitting it hard, like them taking Get Up Kids out on, like, some of their first tours, you know, and then exploding by the time everyone starts paying attention to this kind of music.
Well, the Get Up Kids exploding by the time. Yeah. Because there's the story of they go on tour in Europe together.
Yes.
And it's Braid taking out the Get Up Kids. And by the end, it's the Get Up Kids are
headlining. Closing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and Braids have kind of always been that band. And they're all people who I think get a lot of joy out of actually making the music. You know, and they're all in the interactions I've had with them. Like, Bob's the type of dude where, like, I played an acoustic show with him in someone's living room, and he was just drinking wine and having fun and playing these songs. And, like, I think they enjoy playing and writing music. And I don't know if they care about upholding the mythology.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately that's to their detriment. But, like, they reunited in 2004 again, like, I think before this had really taken root, especially in the punk scene. And then they reunited, you know, in 2010, 2011, before a lot of those other bands had. You know, so they've always just been a hair off on their timing.
Yeah. And I had Bob on for Better Yet, and the impression that I got for him was that he
never has to knock on wood.
He's a compulsive creative being. Mm-hmm. He's just one of those people that's driven by finding things, by making things, and by movement. And I think when that is your disposition, like, that's your creative energy, you're not stopping to, you know, you're not stopping yourself from, like, going out and playing shows and, like, continuing to be accessible. And when you're continually accessible, nobody has time to miss you.
Exactly.
Yeah, very
exactly.
True. Especially because he drops this and then goes right into Hey Mercedes.
Right.
Yeah. And then, like, Hey Mercedes and Braid almost overlap during that first reunion. And, like, he just writes a lot of music. And I think that's sick. And when I've seen them play live, Braid, like, they're still very good. Like, they're all very good musicians. They all seem genuinely into it. And it's fun. And I think by not... I think they don't treat it with the level of, like, hushed reverence, like that it's this untouchable thing of like an American football or a Cap and Jazz. And I think that's maybe why I didn't catch on. And also, I just don't think they were as big as, like, you know, Promise Ring was a much bigger band in their day,
right?
You know, Get Up Kids were a much bigger band, and I just don't know if it permeated the same way to the kind of average music listener to make reunion tours and reunion records and that whole thing as big of a deal.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I view that.
All right. Hey, so that is a pretty healthy sample pack of what is going on over on the Patreon. If you're interested and want in, go over to patreon.com/betteryetpodcast to check out the different tiers for pledging. We've got audio content, postcards, coffee, the As You Were Patreon is accessible via Google Drive folder. We're doing all sorts of stuff over there on Patreon, have a lot of things planned. My dad just moved back. He and I are going to sit down and talk about some foundational records over the course of the time that we get to spend together again. And, you know, there's a long list of things that I'm looking forward to diving in on. So thank you so much for coming by and listening to what we've got, and hopefully listening on into the future. We do hope that you have a lovely holiday. Hope that you're spending it with loved ones. We will be back next week with your regularly scheduled programming. Until then, remember, Texas is the reason. Thanks, Bubba's.
I passed out on the 14th floor. Was so erotic. A blizzard blew in through the door, and little glowing cum buckets in her ankles. Oh, Dallas, you shine with an evil light. Dallas, you shine with an evil light. How'd you turn a billion steers into buildings made of mirrors? Why am I drawn to you tonight? Won't you chase the geometry of a church in a cul-de-sac? Gone.
saw B.B. King on General Hospital in the Oak Cliff Dram House where we stayed. And when Clancy whipped her with his belt buckle, he cleaned her cuts and then Dallas, shine with the